Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
SNL and Mad TV alumni Jeff Richards will join us with his fabulous impersonations. And then we'll do the news as well. First, there's the Jordan Harbinger Show. The Jordan Harbinger Show, a different kind of sponsor for this episode, the Jordan Harbinger Show. Well, if you're a fan of fascinating podcasts and interesting people, you should definitely check this one out. There's an episode for everyone, no matter what you're into. Jordan talks with Scott Adams about persuasion in a world where facts don't matter anymore. Man, is he right. Or you go inside the dark world of wildlife trafficking. You'll always find something useful to apply to your own life, like routine changes to boost productivity or slight mindset tweaks to change how you see the world. Jordan's a good guy. We've had him on many times. I know the man well, and he's worth a listen. We enjoy the show, and we know you will, too. So you can search The Jordan Harbinger Show. That is H-A-R-B as in boy, I-N as in Nancy, G-E-R, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts.
And now, from the cutting room floor of the 2021 ACE Awards, honorable mention for outstanding achievement in one-upsmanship.
In high school, I was a very good player. I gave up one sack in my career. I can see the sack right now in my head, how he beat me.
Last game I ever played as a junior, my quarterback, his last time he touched a ball as a player, my guy sacked him. And I didn't give up many sacks either, and I was obviously still haunted to this day about it.
I'm not trying to, like, one-up you. I'm just sharing as you bring back memories.
Go ahead.
In 1987, at Western Michigan, I forgot the snap count. He beats me off the ball, and he sacks our quarterback, Wade Kozakowski, and ended Wade Kozakowski's career.
I killed a referee in 1981.
Beat
your
that.
Turn. Go ahead.
In 11 and a half months, join us for the 2022 ACE Awards.
Well, Jeff Richards is in studio. Good to see you again, my friend.
Good to see you, Adam. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good.
We got a, well, I don't know if we hit the podcast or we want to hit the live show. Rams Head on Stage. That's Annapolis, Maryland, January 30th. But are we plugging the pod or not?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, the you can find the pod at linktree.com/Jeff Richards.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. I got it. Yeah. Right. So it's an interesting concept. We've talked to Kyle Dunnigan. Kyle Dunnigan does the thing, you know, does the face stuff and then does the character. But you do the whole interview as the celebrity or the character, right?
Yeah, it's like one long bit, you know, basically just riffing back and forth. And, you know, the idea of the show is that it's Jeff Richards' show, but I'm never there. And filling in to guest host is another celebrity that I do.
I heard you do me as well.
A lot of people talk about the coronavirus.
Oh, you said, remember I did that video?
Oh, I'm the Petrich Farms guy.
See, people keep asking me, they ask me if I've got the coronavirus. I don't have the coronavirus, I have the Corolla virus.
It's not very good.
You know what, though? That's an interesting take. That's not a take we hear
that
very
is.
Often.
I get a lot of meh, meh, meh. That's most people's impersonation.
Yeah, people talk about bananas. You don't have to have a banana on top of another banana. That's like too many bananas.
I do a lot of hot banana talk.
True. You got the material. Yeah.
They won't let us build anything. I can't build anything anymore.
That's good. Oh,
now we're
getting,
now we're going.
Yeah, now we're going. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I was just waiting. So who is I saw one with Robert Downey Jr. that was really funny.
Yeah.
The facial computer stuff is kind of crazy good now.
Well, it's the deepfake's a little different than like the face swap. My friend Scott Welsh does the deep fakes, and it's just like an overlay on your face, but it's the highest definition you can get. And so it's a little different like that. But yeah, it's really fun. I like doing it.
How did SNL come about?
SNL came about, I got really good management. when I got Mad TV. I was on Mad TV for a year,
mm-hmm.
and they basically made that happen.
There wasn't any. Well, I'm trying to think. I'm sure SNL kind of looked down their nose at Mad TV.
Right. Well, yeah, that's the thing. Lauren, they didn't tell Lauren I was on Mad TV.
I was going to say, because I think in show business is weird, but there used to be rules like, well, you can't do Leno and then do Letterman. And then if you do Letterman, then you can't go do Leno like in the same month or whatever it is. And I could imagine Lauren not being a fan of someone who came from Mad TV.
Yeah.
But they intentionally didn't tell him. Yeah. So how did that work out?
I guess Marcy Klein just didn't want to tell him first, didn't want him to be influenced, and wanted to have him see me first.
Mm-hmm.
So I just went out there and did one audition. And as I was leaving the stage, Lauren stopped me and said, "Good job." And I thought that's a good sign, or a pretty good sign, or at least even just if I had that alone, that's pretty good.
How much time did you do?
Just 5 minutes.
And who were you in front of?
Tina Fey, Lorne, I think Paula Pell, Steve Higgins, Mike Shoemaker, and then maybe Jimmy Fallon.
Is that the most nerve-wracking of all possible situations?
Yeah. Plus, because I was right about to go in and they took lunch.
Oh.
So they like...
Yeah, there is that thing where even if you're nervous or you're dreading it or whatever it is, it's like you don't want to stand next to the open door of the airplane with your parachute on for too long. At a certain point, you want someone to kick you in the ass. Like you just,
yep.
I don't care what it is, you want it to start. And then when they stop for an hour before that, that just lets you sit with your feelings, right?
Yeah. But I was pretty ready, at least that audition, that 5 minutes I had down.
So what did you do?
I did like 9 impressions. I think I did Letterman.
Mm-hmm.
I did Willy Wonka. There's no way of knowing where my finger's going. I didn't do that. And Louis Anderson. Louis Anderson. You guys ready to play The Feud?
Oh, my.
Top fighters are probably serving on tons and millions of tons. Show me water. and then I did but Letterman kind of sounds like, again, you don't know, no particular reason, no particular idea.
So, and it all worked.
Yeah, I think so. That audition did.
Is it just it's the middle of the week, middle of the afternoon?
Yeah.
And it's this, like, kind of weird and stuff. I mean, it's not a nightclub. You know, you can't have a drink. You don't have that energy.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, pretending like it's going well, because there's no real laughs.
Mm-hmm.
You're just pretending like I'm doing well. But nobody told me I wasn't going to hear laughs. That's like a thing you hear about SNL auditions, that you don't hear any laughs. But, I just was like, well, let me just get this out and... That was it. I just did that.
When did you hear back from them?
I flew out the next day, and when I landed, I got a call, and I was in a car with a bunch of people, and I answered the phone, and it was my managers, and they go, "You got it?" And I go, "I got it?" And everyone in the car freaked out, and then they go, "Yeah, but you can't tell anybody."
The chorus of cheers in the background.
Yeah.
Yeah, it struck me as I was just thinking about it. One of the reasons SNL was SNL and Mad TV was Mad TV. No one's ever been asked to tell their Mad TV audition story.
Mm-hmm. I got one.
I want to hear it, but no one ever asked. Right, they just go, "Hey, Will Sasso, good for you."
Yeah. It was the worst thing. It took like 2-3 months.
What year was this? 'Cause I remember the original Mad TV cast, 98, 97, 98?
Yeah, I was 99.
99? They would come on to Loveline and stuff like that. I kind of remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, so, basically, Nicole Garcia is now a great manager. she basically, you know, I did like this one stand-up spot for 5 minutes. Again, it was like this before SNL. And I got off stage, and Nicole, was the casting agent, said, do you know, who's your agent? And I said, I don't have one. She goes, great. I go, I'll take care of you. And then she just basically had me keep coming in for producers, trying to write new material. And I guess it wasn't like their fault. I was pretty green, you know. I'd only been doing stand-up for a couple years. So I had to keep writing new stuff and doing new stuff. And then I went to network once, didn't get it, went to network again, and then got it. So they weren't really, I don't think they were really sold on me, you know, because, you know, they weren't really sure about me.
But you got it.
Yeah.
And how long were you at Mad TV?
Just 1 year.
And then off to SNL.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting that nobody's ever done that.
Well, Adam, you know, as you're fond of saying, this will tell you all you need to know about people. Lorne Michaels may not have been a big fan of Mad TV personalities coming on to his show. He was more than willing to bring on Kids in the Hall people after, you know, they had ran their course in Cathedral, because, of course, he produced Kids in the Hall.
Nice Canadian boys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. Me and Jimmy did Mad TV once.
Oh, did you?
Must have been 2000. I don't know. I think Michelle Kwan was, God, who was doing Michelle Kwan? Oh, I'll think of it. Not the Asian.
Dicey territory here.
Yeah.
Which Bobby one Lee? Looks Asian? Which one doesn't look Asian?
No, he was Asian.
Oh, okay.
Bobby Lee, yeah.
Bobby Lee.
Oh, Bobby Lee.
Right,
yeah.
Bobby Lee.
Love Bobby.
Thanks for the help. Yeah, Bobby Lee.
I was thinking Alex Borstein did Miss Swan, but...
Oh, yeah. Alex Borstein. Yeah. God. She was such a bitch back in the day. She fucking yelled at me in my own kitchen of a party I was throwing. I told her, like, she. I knew her from the Acme Comedy Theater. She was mean. And I threw a party in my apartment, and she yelled at me in my kitchen, and I remember going, it's my party and it's my kitchen. Why are you yelling at me? But she later on married a guy named Doug I was friends with from Acme.
Okay.
And that's was that story. But I don't know. There's a bit, and it's Jimmy and I are sports announcers?
Yeah. 2006.
Oh, it's 2006? No. Wow. No. Chris is going to. He's going to readjust that.
Yeah, it says season 11.
Was it?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
I mean, look, I trust you over whatever they're saying on the internet, but that's what this says.
Wasn't Jimmy was doing his talk show for 3 years and then went over to Mad TV with me?
Let's see what you guys look like.
I don't think this is. I remember we were working on the lot, like we'll figure it out. Let's see.
Of you just joining us, the competition is really heating up in figure skating. Joining us for color commentary are women's figure skating experts and authors of the book Cracks on the Ice. Please welcome Bill Pendergrast and Jay Mattioli. Welcome.
It is a pleasure to be here. I mean, thank you. Where else could you see women from around the world shoot us crotch wingers?
Scott, Phil, every nation is represented here today. Russia, Yugoslavia, Vachina, they're all here.
Okay, coming up first on the ice is our first competitor, Martina Rossetti. Her nickname is Rosie.
Look at that pretty tush peeking out from behind her frilly red skirt. Ooh, I would like to see her perform in the Ascapades.
This is a definite man show era bit.
Yeah, this is. So what they did is they played an encore of it again in a later episode. So that's what we found. But it's at when you were on was 0102.
Wow.
There we go.
There you go. All is right in the universe. And that was shot on Hollywood Center lot because we were on the man show was on Hollywood Center lot. So I remember just walking across from like our office and shooting it after work or something one day. But
right.
You must have just left for SNL. Yeah,
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
2000, I was at SNL. Or 2001 was my first show, was right after 9/11. That was.
Oh, boy.
That was your first show?
Yeah. Hilarious.
What?
Yeah.
Like, literally, how long after 9/11?
2 weeks.
Wow. What was that like? Who was the, was there a guest?
Didn't Rudy come out? Rudy Giuliani came out on top.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was, he was at another episode later on. I was playing drunk girl and I went to the bathroom to, I was full garb, you know, went in to go to the bathroom and he's there at the urinal. I pull up right next to him with the, how you doing?
Drunk girl.
How's it going? You know, it's pretty cool. Pretty cool moment.
Any sparks there? Or no
sparks. A little dribble.
Okay.
But no real sparks.
So how many years were you at SNL?
3 seasons. Yeah.
Now, how did you leave? Did they fire you? How did that work?
Yeah, I was not asked to come back. Mm-hmm. No. Yeah, I wasn't picked up. Yeah. Pretty much that was the end of it.
How does that work? Like, is it for the beginning? Is it just year to year? I mean, at some point,
I think it's show to show because you can blow it at any second, anything, a social interaction with the wrong, you don't know who somebody is or, you know.
SNL trivia, I believe a young Damon Wayans was fired as the show was finishing. They fired him because he intentionally fucked up a sketch.
Really?
This is circa 85. Like this was a long time ago, but he, if I recall correctly, he did some very swishy gay accent when it wasn't part of the sketch or part of anything. Yeah. And he kind of intentionally just blew it up because I don't think he was happy there. I don't think he was doing what he wanted to do. And I think they fired him before the show was over.
Did this beget Men on Film?
Perhaps.
Was that what he was doing?
I could not make that connection. I think it was a small part of the sketch. But either way, SNL trivia.
Does that live anywhere online?
Chris?
I'm looking, but I am seeing a lot of articles saying he did sabotage that.
I've heard
that.
Chris said it was 2019.
All right.
I would love to. So we literally did the show, finished, or before it was finished.
Supposedly before the credits ran, they were like, get out.
Wow. No. And hit.
That's lore.
Was that his first show? Or
no,
he
was on for the majority of a season.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't like it when you just do it your way, you know. Especially if they told you don't do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I mean, I'm sure he was doing that. I don't know for a fact, but he probably did that in dress and then they said, "Don't do that." And he said, "Sure, I won't do it." And then
There were some lost SNL years in the mid-ish 80s where they don't get celebrated as much. Robert Downey Jr. was on. Julia Louis-Dreyfus was on. Mm-hmm. Damon Wayans was on. Randy Quaid was on. Like, there were a lot of young talent, and they just don't pop up. They're not celebrated. You never see them in the compilations. They kind of just skip over those years conveniently.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. But there's
Anthony Michael Hall was on.
There was certainly enough talent to do funny stuff then.
Absolutely.
There's probably stuff there, but they've been sort of thrown out with the bathwater.
Yeah. Well, those weren't.
Which
those
is
weren't,
odd.
No, those weren't Lauren's years either.
Wasn't Dick Ebersole?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so this may be more of a Lauren thing than a contest.
That makes sense because you think of Julia Louis-Dreyfus and it's not like they want to intentionally sweep her under the rug. What would be the point? She's a mega comedy star.
Right.
Wayne's was 12 episodes in.
There you go.
I guess.
Oh boy.
So how does it work? You sit around. I mean, you could get the axe at any time. That's got to create a certain amount of tension.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And you're trying to come up with ideas, new characters. The first couple of years are, you go through everything you have, and then the third year, it's like writing an album, I guess. You know, you can put your first album out, and the other ones are so much harder. But I think it's socializing. It's knowing how to, you know, I'm not from a rich family. I don't know how to, you know, be suave or whatever. I kind of say.
There's politics. You have to navigate that world. All right, we have the sketch. Mr. Monopoly.
Yeah. This is 86.
86.
Hey, easy on the suit. Oh, shut up and sit down.
All right, Carrasco. You moved a lot of dough, but you got caught.
Yeah, you're going to jail for a long, long time.
Well,
I wouldn't be so sure about that. My lawyer's going to be here any minute.
I don't think you get the message, Carrasco. We got you cold.
It is?
We've got the whole transaction on videotape. We still got 3 people that saw you kill that undercover cop.
Where's my lawyer? I got a date with the old lady tonight. And I don't want to keep her waiting.
I don't think you've been listening, Carrasco. There's not a lawyer in the whole world that's going to get you off this time.
Hello, gentlemen.
John Lovitz?
John Lovitz is Mr. Monopoly.
I believe you're detaining and Mr. Angel Carrasco. I'm representing him in this matter.
That's me.
Hi. Let your things on. You're going home.
Oh, right. Are you crazy? This man's being held without bail for first-degree murder and narcotics trafficking. He's not going anywhere.
Oh, no.
Get out of jail free card.
Get out of jail free.
You're that guy from the game, Mr. Monopoly.
In the flesh.
This card may be kept until needed or sold. Damn you, Monopoly.
Oh, right, Monopoly.
So Damon said he was angry. That's the reason why it wasn't funny when he admitted to sabotaging the sketch. It was right after Eddie Murphy left the show, and they weren't letting me do things that he would do. So I went against the script. That was my frustration. And then Lorne fired him right on the spot right after the sketch.
Wow, good pull there, Brian. I never heard that story before.
Lost to SNL lore.
Yeah, Damon was invited back to host in 95, so...
And he...
No hard feelings.
He went.
And he went all swishy the whole time.
All right. Why don't we take a quick break?
Hey, before we get into the news, or maybe now, maybe after the break, whatever you want to do, we can't... we'd be remiss not to mention Jeff's history with our show back in the radio days. Drunken Tree Mascot.
Drunken Tree Mascot.
6:30 a.m.
Yeah.
And the drunk girl.
You were Stanford's mascot. Right. Tree mascot, right?
Famous in the news, she had gotten suspended or whatever, expelled because she was the tree mascot was drunk on the field and during a game. And
that's right.
We decided to run with that as a character.
Yeah, that was fun. That was fun.
Yeah, that was drunken tree mascot.
Great character.
I hate you, Adam.
Drunken tree mascot. Why are you doing this?
Because I do what I do because I want to do something else, but I can't figure it out. Just Google it.
No, but wait, you don't want to be a mascot anymore?
I don't do anything.
Well, you got to do something, Drunken Tree Mascot Girl.
Eat it.
Eat what?
Eat whatever you want to eat. I don't want anything. Get away from me. I'm hungry.
Well, I brought you a taco.
I'm not hungry.
I thought you said you were hungry.
Shut up.
Maybe you should eat something.
Maybe you shut your mouth, right? Google it.
Yeah, well, Google shuts your mouth?
Do whatever you want. I don't care.
Look, we have policies about drinking and mascot outfits, and we have a dry stadium, Drunken Tree Mascot.
Yeah, well, dry your ass out.
Hey, why are they called the Stanford Cardinal, but you're in a tree outfit? Has anyone ever brought that one up?
Because I don't want to get pregnant.
Yeah, but if we...
But because the tree outfit keeps people away, and they can't get inside.
Well... if we put you in a cardinal outfit, like we dress you up as a cardinal from the church.
Wait, who's we?
Well, I'm saying I'm part of the commission. And we put you in a cardinal, like a bird outfit, that would... I don't even know why I'm involved.
All right, I'll do it.
This,
right? Shut up.
All right, should we get you out of the tree outfit?
Yeah.
Did you wet yourself?
I mean, it is what it is.
Reason to be watered.
You're not supposed to drink in the tree outfit.
Well, I don't want to catch coronavirus.
Well, it's not. You drinking Natty Light is not going to save you from the coronavirus. Oh, no. Oh, Drunken Tree Mascot.
That's happened a lot.
I'm sorry. Don't go there. I don't. It's fine. You can stay in the tree outfit.
What made her a great mascot is her emotion.
That's right. And scene. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back and do the news right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gina Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden, Kamala. Meet news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
life for Prince Andrew just keeps getting worse. Britain's Prince Andrew no longer has any military affiliations and royal patronages, according to a statement released by Buckingham Palace. He's just plain old Andy now. This comes a day after Andrew's lawyers failed to persuade a U.S. judge to dismiss a civil lawsuit that accused him of sexual abuse. The statement went on to say that the Duke of York will continue not to undertake any public duties and is defending this case as a private citizen. Now, I'll give you a little refresher in case you're not on the up and up here. NBC News reports that Andrew's reputation has been tarnished in recent years because of his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, who was found guilty, of course, of 5 federal sex trafficking charges last month in New York City. And the connection that we're still talking about with Andrew is a girl named Virginia Giuffre, who may sound familiar. She was the one pictured in that photo that was going around with Andrew's arm around the waist of that 17-year-old girl. That's her. Buckingham Palace made the announcement about Andrew's titles after the judge in the U.S. rejected his bid to dismiss that lawsuit against Giuffre, who alleges that he sexually abused her when she was 17, and now he is fighting this thing on his own.
How old's the queen? She 98?
Oh, God.
99?
She's got to be 90.
Shouldn't she have just... She would have been so much happier if she just died at 95.
She is 95.
Oh, we'll make it 91. Not only she got to deal with this guy, but she's got her grandson marrying that bitch who comes over and calls everyone racist and then talks shit on Oprah. Like, you just check it in at 90.
Really, really submarines a lot of conspiracy theories about people having people killed and Secret Service. You know, I know these trained killers. Like, wouldn't she have had him killed long ago if that was the case?
If he was a pedophile,
no. If it was possible to just have snap of your fingers, hey, take care of this problem. Well, like that seems
Ryan,
like it would have been done.
That's one of the many conspiracy theories about Princess Di.
Oh, that she was taken out for something similar to this?
That the queen had requests done at the cover of Night.
Yeah, and then Epstein himself, there's all the conspiracy about him being taken out as well.
Right. Ugh.
Yeah, don't take pictures with hot chicks. That's the new story, because you take a picture with a hot chick and anyone who looks at it goes, oh yeah, he definitely
looking at her.
By the way, that's just saying you want to fuck her he definitely. That's you going, oh yeah, I definitely. Yeah, you can't be photographed with hot chicks.
Well, and also, I don't know, like, how much reverence the average person in the UK has for the royal family, but like, can we give up this fucking charade at this point that these people matter and that that anything they do makes a difference?
Well,
and they're figureheads. We know they're all fucked up. We know it's all embroiled in conspiracies and in problems.
I disagree.
Oh, do tell.
Because the royal family used to do a lot of events and charities and like pomp and circumstance and things like that. Now we only hear about them when they fuck up. You got to have someone calling them a racist or this guy a pedophile or something.
It's royal wedding or fuck up.
Right.
Royal wedding or a pedophile.
So I like to keep them around because just to watch them fuck up,
Yeah, that's fair.
Somebody who was shitty to you in high school and big man on campus or popular cheerleader, you want to hang around and watch him get fat.
Now you're talking.
You know what I mean? This is did you hear Cheryl's divorced again? Like,
what a shame.
Do tell.
The one who was a cunt to me the whole time I was in the 11th grade. Yeah, she's on her, and she's in rehab. I'm like, good.
Terrible.
You don't want her to have a stroke when she's 33. You want to keep her around for a while and enjoy the slow ride down.
You're absolutely right, but also, do you want to pay for her?
No, I mean, not if I'm one of the subjects. No.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. So we've been talking a lot about Bob Saget. We were lucky to have Jeff Ross call in the other day, and he talked a little bit about John Mayer. Well, apparently that's real. John Mayer, Bob Saget were very, very close. And his close friends of Bob Saget, Jeff and John, picked up Bob's car that was left at LAX in long-term parking the other day and recorded a 25-minute Instagram live so they could continue to talk about the love of their friend Bob. The whole thing really, really just very casual and very touching. And they're literally just driving on the 405 talking about their friend Bob. But I've pulled 60 seconds of John Mayer sort of extolling the virtues of his friend and thought you might enjoy it.
Oh, if I know long-term parking at LAX, I'm sure the parking attendant was very sympathetic to the fact that the person whose car was dropped off there was deceased.
Yeah, I don't have the ticket. Sorry, it's a long story, but my friend died, and I'm just
it is full price. You pay full.
No, he died.
That is good. It is not a problem for me.
Well, it's a big problem. It's a big problem.
It's not mine. You know, you have ticket. You pay full.
No, I think
$700.
You know, we're here literally just as a favor to the family. That's the only reason I'm here today.
This house is full. I do not know the final video. I know it's $700.
Okay, I'm just trying to return the car to the family.
That's $700.
Okay. So they got the car out somehow, and here is John Mayer talking about his friend Bob.
And Bob's effusive and repeated expression of love is the greatest gift that he left people, because all we have is the pain of his going, and we don't have to worry about the accounting. The affairs are in order in terms of wondering or not having to wonder how Bob felt about us. Do you know what I mean?
It's like what you said about backing up your computer.
Bob's love backup was this morning, 7:33 a.m.
You knew where you stood. I love you. I love. He ended the most benign conversations with "I love you."
I hear him. I love you guys so much, John and Jeff. I just love you guys so much. I love you so much. I want to take you guys out to Craig's next week. We got to go to Craig's and have dinner. I love you guys. Thank you so much for picking my. This is the only time in my life I've been honored to help a friend out at LAX.
Yep, I haven't picked someone up at the airport in 10 years.
Is he driving a Prius?
No sunroof.
Hard to tell. Yeah, looked a
I don't know.
Pedestrian.
Very modest.
I don't know Prius interiors, but I noticed from the back, when they shifted back, it looked Prius-y. Max Pata would know.
I mean, my interior doesn't look like that. So
it's a Prius. What's up? What's up, Adam? This is Adam. This is Jeff Ross.
Jeff Ross.
What's going on, man?
Hey, man.
Just going to roast this hat.
Oh, no, you can't roast a hat.
What's up, hat? And you're so blue, you need therapy.
Yeah.
Zing.
Yeah, Jeff, not everything is roast worthy.
I'm going to roast this piece of paper. What's up, paper? You got two different types of ink on there. What are you, schizophrenic? What's up, kid? What's up, man?
Yeah.
What's up, kid, man?
Yeah, you can't just roast
looking around the
clouds
and
things. You have to pick
I'm going to roast the air. Look at the protons. Look at the neutrons. What do you think? You're better than me? You having a good time? Why don't you tell your face?
I've never heard of Jeff Ross before.
That's good.
Thank you.
Do it again. I'm going to close my eyes and I'm going to picture.
What's up, Adam? This is Jeff Ross.
Oh, hey, man. How are you?
Look at all those pens and pencils and that pen and pencil thing. What do you think? You're better than me? You having a good time? Why don't you tell your face?
That is Jeff. Close your eyes. Wow. Who the hell knew? I did the scleroderma foundation thing, and John Mayer was sitting at my table. So I guess they go way back. And I've completely turned the corner on John Mayer. I thought he was a douchebag 10 years ago.
Might be the greatest guy.
I'm in love with the man.
Oh, question for the other Jeff Richards. In your time at SNL, coolest maybe one or two hosts you got along with, hit it off with?
What's her name? Damn. Queen Latifah was my favorite.
Or musical guests, I should expand.
Music guests, like White Stripes, The Strokes.
That's right. That was your era, yeah.
A lot of good bands.
Cool.
Saw Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, really?
Once.
Nice.
Mick Jagger on his own once.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And are they doing, like, is Mick Jagger at that point in his career, is he doing, like, a full tech rehearsal?
Not really. I mean, I think he's not moving around too much. He's taking it. He's playing it real cool, like a football player before a football game, you know, just kind of walk around cool.
Take it
off. Sorry,
Jeff. You may remember this specifically. John Mulaney has a bit, you know, when he was writing and Mick Jagger was on, and every single thing they wrote for him, he would just yell, "Not funny!" and didn't like anything that was being written for him. Do you remember him to be, you know, rather cantankerous?
He didn't come to the – he just performed music. He didn't do – I don't think he did much – maybe one sketch with Jimmy. I think he did the one where the mirror he was a mirror with Jimmy.
Oh, okay. The sort of the Lucille Ball, Harpo Marx move. You guys remember that?
I don't remember him doing
it. He being Mick Jagger, would do it with Mike Myers back in the day. Maybe did they re-up that with –
But you guys remember the Lucille Ball Harpo one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I just want to make sure.
I know that bit. I don't remember it being redone.
Ah, it's the coolest thing in the world, you know what I mean? This is Jimmy Fallon. How you doing, man? How you doing, Adam? That's so cool, you know? That's the coolest thing in the world, you know what I mean? How you doing, man? Come on, man.
I'm going to close my eyes. Keep going. It's Jimmy Fallon.
I found a paperclip yesterday, you know? I saw the paperclip. I was like, oh, my God, no way, you know? It's so shiny, you know? It's the coolest thing in the world, you know?
Mr. Fallon, I know you, for a time anyway, you and Justin Timberlake were like best friends. Are you guys still best friends?
I love that guy. He's the coolest guy in the world, you know? It's like, every time I see him, I'm like, oh my God, you know? It's so cool, you know? Because he's just like a cool guy, you know? I really like him.
Yeah.
He's cool. Ah, come on, man. Adam still got his eyes shut. Ah, come on, give me a break, you know? I'm going to roast this baseball cap. How you doing, man? How's it going, baseball cap? It's the coolest thing in the world, you know? The blue and everything, you know?
All right, Gina, keep going.
All right. Well, remember we talked at length and about the Canadian wife who, after a long, hard nursing shift of 12 hours, went out and shoveled the shoveled the snow off the driveway, and everyone was apoplectic except for you. Well, guess who else wasn't freaked out about it?
Hold on. They were in a Prius, by the way. That was a Prius.
Yeah, they said that Jeff said in the video, Bob had his fancy Lexus for going to restaurants, and then his junk car was his Prius, which he would leave at the airport.
Ouch.
Mm-hmm.
Well, his wife has come to his defense. This is Cynthia Reyes. She spoke out about the backlash after her husband, John, has received a lot of abuse across North America. This is what she said. She said, as I pulled up to my driveway, I felt energy to shovel the snow that fell all night and into the morning. As many Manitobans and Canadians know, it's a great workout. It allowed me to unwind. It's refreshing after wearing an N95 mask almost the entire night. The weather was mild. It was quiet and peaceful. Most importantly, I enjoy it. And then she added that she and her husband share different chores, not based on gender. It's just based on whoever's available to do it.
Oh, look, I was thinking about it at the time. Like, people like exercise and want to get exercise. Not everyone wants to run on a treadmill. And also, if you think about it sort of conceptually, if you're shoveling snow, you're getting a good exercise. You could go out and work a 12-hour shift as a nurse or any other job, and it'd be perfectly reasonable for you to come home and run on the treadmill for half an hour or work out or get some exercise. So if we're not poo-pooing the treadmill or the soul cycle that night, then why are we poo-pooing the outdoor exercise?
The sub-zero temperatures.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, you got to alternate arms, too. You can't just keep using the right scoop.
You
got to
shift it over.
You got to shift it, and a lot of people don't keep track of.
You come from a snow shoveling place?
Not at all, no.
Oh, okay. I thought you hit
I just want to fit in. You know, I haven't said much lately. Thought I'd say something. I hope that was okay.
So good. I'm glad she defended her man.
Yeah.
She also had on something that was a little interesting. In today's day and age, surprising that so many people were gender specific with their chores. You know what I mean? She's like, we do things that, you know, I do man chores. I'm sure he does, you know, woman chores. I'm making air quotes.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, it's funny because in our house, it is the same. It's whoever's available. The dishes, vacuuming, cleaning, it doesn't matter what it is, except for two things that I have yet to bend on. If it's really, really heavy. Yes. Eating pussy.
Sure.
Or, well, this one, that might fall into the next category, or really, really gross. I can't be bothered. I won't do it.
Oh, and you don't do the gross stuff.
Fuck no. We have one of those drain catchers in, you know, the side of the sink where the stuff doesn't go down.
Mm-hmm.
I did it once. I'll never do it again.
That's interesting.
Big, strong man. You do that part.
I feel like women are wired for gross a little better because they seem to like a diaper, bad diapery stuff, cleaning up the kid. Traditionally, women were nurses.
True.
The bedpans and wounds and cleaning. You have to tend to like a kid who gets a cut or wound or a filled diaper or something. I felt like they're taking care of the elderly parent or something like that. I'd much rather go clean the gutters out or paint the fascia on the side of the house than get involved with the poop and the blood and the pus and the snot.
Right.
Yeah,
no,
like a kid will blow his nose or whatever, and he'll sneeze, a big snot thing will come down and the handle just... I thought women were wired for gross.
Mother spits.
Right.
Most women probably are. I've never been put in a position to, I've never changed a diaper. I've never been in a position to change a diaper. If a kid like sneezes and snot comes out of his nose, my throat closes up. Mm. Like I'm not one of those women. I can't do it. I wish I could.
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah. Can't be done.
Well, the thing about it can be done when you're home alone with the kid and the kid shits the diaper. At some point you'll figure it out. That I'm not into it either.
I've called neighbors I met half of a time to come deal with one of those American cockroaches. You know, the ones that are like the size of like a Maltese.
Yeah.
I was alone. I lived alone. Fuck that. It's not happening. So you get resourceful. I get resourceful. Mm-hmm. We have an update on the Rust situation. You know, the Alec Baldwin situation, we'll call it that, since that might sound more familiar. The armorer who worked on the set of the film Rust and loaded the gun that ultimately killed cinematographer Helena Hutchins is suing the ammunition supplier. The investigation into that deadly shooting has focused on armorer Hannah Gutierrez Reed, who is believed to have somehow loaded a live bullet into the chamber instead of blanks. She's denied responsibility. She's now suing PDQ Arm and Prop. That's the New Mexico-based weapons and ammunition supplier who provided all the inert ammunition. The lawsuit argues that the company was negligent and mixed a live bullet in with the blanks. Here's what it says. Hannah relied upon and trusted that defendants would only supply dummy prop ammo or blanks and no live rounds were ever to be on set. It also describes a number of dangerous incidents on the set in which dummy rounds were accidentally fired. So the can continues to get kicked.
Well, at a certain point, you have to pull the round out of a little foam cutout. It probably comes in. And as you pull it out, you have to see a bullet slug at the end of it. I mean, it's just a different shape than what the blank would be. So there's room enough for negligence for a lot of people.
Right.
You know, it could definitely, that can be true, but also if you're the person who's pulling them out of the container and putting them in the pistol, then sort of on you as well. And then did Baldwin pull the trigger? He says he didn't pull the trigger.
How do we not know when the whole thing was being filmed? So who has the film of that moment?
I think it was a rehearsal, right?
Yeah, but don't you sometimes film rehearsal?
Well, they will roll on rehearsal sometimes, but sometimes I guess they won't roll on rehearsal. So I don't know if it exists or not.
There's also the possibility he was aiming the gun directly down the barrel of the camera, like Goodfellas style, and destroyed
that
the camera.
That is what he allegedly that we've talked about before, that was the case.
Well, then he would have destroyed the camera.
Yeah.
Well, and then how is it that 50 Cent got shot 9 times and is somewhere right now making a movie or something? It's also, it's so random to me that some people get shot a bunch of times and somehow they're fine, and some people get shot once and that's the end of that.
Well, I think about that a lot in terms of drugs. Mm-hmm. You know, like we've talked about, you could take 160, you know, oxy and get through your day, or your heart's just going to give out for somebody else.
Yeah, sad. But it makes, he says he was moving the gun, or I don't know if he said he was moving the gun. He said he didn't squeeze the trigger. And he said he didn't point it at anybody. But in that case, he'd have to be moving it when it went off and it's just stopped in front of the cinematographer.
Well, and like you said, I'm sure there's enough blame to go around. I think people, it sounds like, which makes sense, a ploy to kind of take some of the heat off you, saying like, me, I'm going to sue the ammunition company. You know, it's just a way to maybe not be the scapegoat. I
always hate in these situations where the holier than thou other actors go, you always check the cylinder. I would break the gun down and have it visually inspected. I bet you could put a 20-minute reel together of people handing this person a gun while they were smoking and on the phone and went, yeah, okay, yeah, what are we doing here? Like, you always open, you always break it down. I don't know. I'll bet you most actors just trust the prop master and the armorer, and when they hand them the gun, they just hand them the gun. But anyway,
I'm seeing that the incident was not recorded.
Not recorded.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Would have been helpful.
All right. Well,
then you know what? I've been saving this, and I really just want to show you what it looks like if you haven't heard about it yet. BMW sees a future where drivers won't have to choose the exterior of the car because now you can change it at literally the touch of a button. At Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas, the car maker unveiled the BMW iX Flow, which is wrapped in an electronic paper that changes color. For example, we're looking at it now. If you like the look of a black BMW, but don't want such a dark car on like a hot day, you'll just switch it to white.
That is pretty bitchin'.
Yeah. It is very cool. It's unknown whether the color-changing car might be available for purchase, but it does appear to still be a few years away. I watched the interview about it, and the woman says it uses the same technology as a Kindle. So when you take your Kindle into the sun and you can read it perfectly, I'm using this word, but like the crystals change, they essentially use the same sort of quote-unquote paper to wrap the entire car.
I want the car to do it on its own. Like, I want a mood car. Like, I want to come out and go, shit, the car's horny this morning. Or the car's having a critical day, not a good day to go at freeway speeds.
You get cut off. Fucking thing
right.
Goes,
yeah.
Flaming red.
You know, or maybe it's envious or it's blue.
You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, I want the car to kind of dictate
mood
the
ring.
Pace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The mood ring.
I like that.
We had the mood ring. We had a lot of science when I was growing up. We had a ring that would tell you what kind of mood you were in, and we had a pet rock. Right. We had lots of good
stuff.
How'd
they get that over on us? The pet rock was
I love the idea of the pet rock.
A couple eyes and
also it is one of those you're out of problems as a culture, you know, because like in the Middle East, they throw rocks, but they don't have them as pets. You know what I mean? Like we're so out of things to do with our money that just because it's a goof, we're going to buy a rock. It's going to come in a box. We'll call it a pet rock.
The irony is that became popular because the economy was so bad. People couldn't afford pets.
Right. Really? Yeah.
It was like 70s thing.
Well, probably later.
I read an article about it. Yeah, okay, they got popular after that, obviously. But yeah, I read an article. It was because of the bad economy.
Well, and before we close out, because we're talking about these fakakta phenomenons, and I don't necessarily recommend the documentary, but I did start watching a documentary on Beanie Babies. And apparently there is going to be a motion picture coming out about the Beanie Baby craze of the, what do we call it, the 90s. Mm-hmm. So we'll all look forward to that.
Did anybody ever have a mood ring?
That's too young. No. Are we at Hype? Jeff, dude, do you have Hypercolor t-shirts?
Oh,
Hypercolor t-shirts were sweet.
Would you call me?
Hypercolor. The t-shirts that if you had breathed on them or they got warm, they'd change.
Oh, yeah.
They get
oh,
hot.
Yeah.
Like with the handprint, if you pressed your hand on it.
Grab it. Never had a mood ring.
I'd like to drive the BMW that changes colors over to Mexico and be like, here's what they're doing in Germany. What do you guys got going on?
What are you up to?
We're building Volkswagen Bugs. Yeah, but that's their. You're making other people's shit.
Yeah. What's new? What's exciting?
What do you guys got going? What's the flavor?
We have a donkey here, but it stays the same color.
Right.
It rolls in dirt. Like, all right, let's up the game a little bit. Let's get a car going. Let's work on this.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I judge a culture.
That's the way to do it. That's the only way to do it.
That's the only way to do it. We knew this was out of Germany. All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. Not funny!
Gina Grad! That was the news with Gina Grad.
Well, you can check out Jeff live, Annapolis, Maryland, Ram's Head on stage January 30th. And you can check out Linktree/Jeff Richards if you want to watch the show. Paul Janeway as well, The Alien Coast, name of that album. And you can check me out at Brea February 6th. Bill Shatner will be up on stage with me and Dennis Quaid as well. And until next time, it's Adam Kroll for Jeff Richards, Paul Janeway, Gina Grad, and Bald Ryan. Say it. Mahalo.
Because I don't want to get pregnant.
You can watch this episode of The Adam Carolla Show at YouTube.com/Adam Carolla. Follow The Adam Carolla Show on Twitter. At Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And get your tickets to see Adam Carolla in Brea. Adam Carolla Truth Yeller tickets on sale now at AdamCarolla.com.
Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.